And I'd like us to look at a subject on the subject of a man named Philip as a starting point, and we'll end with Philip and the servant of the Lord. And let's just read some verses first. Acts 8, verse 4. And we'll have a word of prayer. Therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies and that were lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. But there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery, and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, This man is a great power of God. And to him had they regard, because that of a long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. And we'll have a word of prayer. Lord in heaven, we truly thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to come again to the house of God and to sing praises unto your name, to worship and to fellowship with God's people. We ask and pray that you continually bless and answer these personal and written down prayer requests for the church and those in need. And we just pray that you bless them with every need that they have, and that you might be pleased to answer special prayers today that people have had from weeks long back, and they're praying about it daily. We just pray that you help them and bless them and encourage them in many, many ways and open the right doors for them, dear God. Bless the missionaries we support and the work that they do. Use them in a great way, dear Father. And we pray, Father, that you bless God's people who are been determined and dedicated and faithful to be here today, even with burdens and heartaches. We just pray that you strengthen them and bless them in a special way. Bless Brother Harvey, encourage his health, dear God, and may you continually guide us. Help me, dear Father, as I speak your word. May it be done to the pleasing of the Lord, and may it be done to the hearing and encouragement of God's people. Forgive us of our sins, Lord. If there's any lost here today, that you might be pleased, according to your perfect will and plan, to show them the Lord Jesus Christ and the gospel. Bless now, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Notice the early church, as we look at the early church, was blessed of God, with souls were added to this church from the beginning, from the days of Christ to the time of Pentecost and on. Persecutions began to this early church. Stephen was martyred for Christ. The servant of the Lord was a man with special insight from the Lord and filled with the Spirit of the Lord. Notice Acts 8:4. We just read these early Baptist Christians in Jerusalem. The persecution came and they went everywhere preaching the word. Even one of the church's servants who served tables ministered to those widows, and he had ministered to those widows who had special needs. His name was Philip. He got involved later preaching the word, and we read that in verse 5. He went down to Samaria and preached Christ unto them. That word, deacon, the word serve here, was who Philip was. He was one of those chosen ones. Look at chapter 6 of Acts, and look at verse 2. Then the 12 called the multitude of disciples unto them and said, It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. The church was really growing, being multiplied. Disciples were multiplied. And there was a problem with the different nationalities of saints there about the widows neglecting of their ministration. But now notice, the apostles were so busy, they were leaving off the word of God. So they were led of the Lord to do this, to get some help. And to get some help to help them do the ministry's work. Notice verse 2. They called the multitude of disciples unto them and said, It's not reason, it's not good that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the same pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, the proselyte of Antioch. And they prayed for them, laid their hands on them, and they became servants in this church. They were separated to do a task that the church gave them to do. The apostles told them, this is what you need to do. And this is what they did. But notice that word, that when they chose these servants, that was their calling, to serve. And notice the word servant is one who is willingly subject to another. But notice Romans chapter 1, verse 1 a moment. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. You know what that word servant there means? It means a permanent servant of the will of another. He's a permanent servant of the will of God. And he says, I'm a bond slave. I'm a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want us to look at a few people who served in the early New Testament church and get an idea on how they served. Notice with me in Acts 18:24. While we're in the book of Acts, well, go back to Acts and Acts 18:24. You have two people named Aquila and Priscilla, and a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man, mighty in the Scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord. And being fervent in the Spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogues, whom, when Aquila and Priscilla, this is a Christian couple, they had heard him, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. So you see two servants there who are willing to help a young minister getting started, but very powerful in the word. They were able to show him some things they learned of Paul earlier about the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice Romans 16 a moment and verse 1. The book of Romans and verse 1 of chapter 16. Paul writes, and he gives some special attention to certain people in the church that helped. And that helped him in his missionary endeavors. He says, I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is at Cenchrea. And he says in verse 2, that ye receive her in the Lord, as becometh saints, and that ye assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you. For she hath been a securer of many, and of myself also. There's one servant. A servant in the church, a helper. And what's a servant in a church? A helper in any area of the ministry of the Lord's church, in any area that you can do. Look at 1 Corinthians 16 a moment and verse 13. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit ye like men, or means mature. Like men, be strong. Let all your things be done with charity. I beseech you, brethren, ye know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Archaea, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. And he says that ye submit yourselves unto such and to everyone that helpeth with us and laboreth. But look at that word in verse 15. He says that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. These people, Stephanas and these others. Notice that word addicted means to set themselves or to place in order or to arrange. They arrange themselves to the ministry of the saints. What that means is they rearrange their life to the ministry of the saints. They addicted themselves to a certain cause. Just like when you do a certain job, Sometimes you got to adjust yourself. That's what the church's ministry is like. Sometimes you have to do some adjustments to do something for the Lord. To do something for the Lord, so people say, well, I haven't got time. That's the key. The Lord wants to see what you're going to do to make time in the ministry. And I know you got a Sunday night crowd. You got a good crowd of God's people that love the Lord and are faithful. But everyone can always do something for the Lord. Everyone here. It would have been a great Sunday morning sermon, brother. It's okay. But, you know, it's important to find a place that you can serve the Lord in. Find a place that you can be active if you're not. And I know people have different schedules and it's hard. But there's always something. There's always something you can do. Look at Colossians chapter 4, verse 10. Notice what he says. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, saluteth you, and Marcus, sister's son to Barnabas, touching whom you receive commandments, if he come unto you, receive them. And notice, and Jesus, which is called Justice, who are of the circumcision, these only are my fellow workers unto the kingdom of God, which have been a comfort unto me. You see, a fellow worker serving in the church can be a comfort to other saints. To other people that need a little help. I can say in the Olmsted Baptist Church, there's times Brother Harvey can perhaps use help. I know I come in and out because I'm out working outside of the ministry too. But there's times that you say, Brother Harvey, I got a few hours available. There's something that I can do for the Lord here in this church. And I guarantee you, he'll pull out his list that'll roll down to the floor, I think. He'll say, let me look it up. But there's always something you can do. But notice the next verse, verse 12. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers. There's another labor of a servant of God. Prayers. Maybe there's special times that you said, well, I don't have the energy, but I can surely put a half hour a day just praying for certain things in this church. You can pray. That ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. That's why he labored and he prayed for them. In verse 13, for I bear him record that he hath a great zeal for you and them that are in Laodicea and them in Hierapolis. Luke, the beloved physician, and Derbes, Demas, greet you. Luke was also a servant. But notice, the word minister means to render any kind of service. Any kind of service that would please the Lord. Notice Luke 8, verse 1. The Bible says this, and it came to pass afterward that he went throughout every city and village, the Lord Jesus Christ going through every city and village in his earthly ministry, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him. And notice verse 2. And certain women, which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went seven devils, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others, which ministered, they served with Christ. They ministered unto him of their substance. They ministered of what they had. They might not have had a lot, but they ministered of what they had. And part of ministry is just using what you have. If you're a good cook, there's times maybe you can minister. If you're able to visit certain people in hospitals like people here do, there's times you can minister. Whatever, of your ability, whatever you're able to do. But notice Luke 22, verse 24. And notice what happened here. Notice the situation here during the time of the institution of the Lord's Supper. And notice Luke 22, verse 24. And there was also a strife among them, the disciples, which of them should be accounted the greatest. And he said unto them, The kings of the Gentiles, Jesus says, exercise lordship over them. The kings of the Gentiles. Then he says, and they that exercise authority upon those people, them are called benefactors. But ye shall not be so. But he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger. And he that is chief, let as he that doth serve. And verse 27, for whither is greater? Or who? Which person is greater? He that sitteth at meat, or he that serveth? Is not he that sitteth at meat? But Jesus says, but I am among you as he that serveth. You know, a while back, probably a month ago, just in a church service, I think before services started, someone in the church said, someone in the church says, well, Brother Peter, you're second to Brother Harvey. Well, I could say I am second to Brother Harvey, but I'm also second to the Sharp family. I'm also second to the Latham family. I'm also second to the Davenport family or the Mays family. I'm second because I'm a servant. You're first. Christ is first. You're second. I'm last. And that's what Jesus is teaching. And that's why I was going to say that, but I said, well, she might think I'm trying to be proudful, but that's how I feel. A servant feels that way. You're first. I'm second. I'll rather serve than want to be served. And that's what God puts in your heart as a servant. And that's when we're that way, it doesn't matter who gets any kind of credit or anything. It doesn't really matter. But notice, there are many areas for servants of the Lord to serve in a local church. You know, sometimes I do things in this church just because I believe something needs to be done, you know. And I always ask Brother Hardy, well, what do you think about this? I don't just come out and do it. Because he's a pastor. But I ask him, what does he think about it? Why? Because I believe that it can be done. But someone else can do that same thing. I can't sing, but I sing with these young people. But if you left me by myself, you would close your ears. You know, it'd be terrible. But to do it with someone, you to serve, just do something with others. And that's the key of a servant, just to do something. There are many areas of the servants of the Lord to serve in a local church. The Lord Himself gave them talents to serve in the Lord's church. Different people here have different good talents that can be used in the Lord's church in different ways. Notice Ephesians 4, verse 4. One look at verse 7. We'll just skip down to verse 7. Well, look at verse 4. There is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. The same God in one child of God is the same God with the Holy Spirit in you as a child of God. But to every one of us, he's writing to this church, he says, every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. And he says in verse 8, wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. And verse 11 says, he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, or pastor teachers. And he says, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying equipment of the body of Christ. And what's the reason? Till we all come into unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And why? That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lay in wait to deceive. And he says, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up unto him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, for whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Every part of the body that has a gift can put his or her influence for the glory of God. Ten faithful servants, or 10 saints of God more in the Olmsted Baptist Church that are willing to do one thing for the ministry could turn this church around, can make a big difference. Just taking a little time to do something extra for the Lord's work, it will make a difference. Look at Romans 12, verse 4. Paul writes, he says, "For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ." This is a local independent Baptist body, a church body. "And every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching." You might have a certain ministry, and it could be teaching, or it could be others. We have, Olmsted Baptist Church has qualified, talented teachers already. But there's other areas. Church is going to need another teacher. Maybe two, as they see more people starting to come in. But that use your talent. If you have it, use it. Don't let it go. And or don't let it get rusty on you. And use it a little more. But notice verse 8. "Or he that exhorteth on exhortation." That's the talent. That's a gift, the Bible says. "He that exhorteth on exhortation." Here's a gift I thought of. I don't think Brother Harvey would mind. This is a good gift for the church. In the morning, you can have two men to be out there as ushers in this church. That'll make a difference. When people come in that are visiting, make a big difference. And notice, and another verse here, he says, "He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness." And he says, "Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another, not slothful in business. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord." That word fervent means a zeal with action. It also means something that's brought to a boil. That's how it ought to be. Fervent. Serving the Lord. Find something that you can get excited about in the Lord for His church. And fervently do it. And that's how we ought to be. You know, people, people here in business world and doing things, do you plan ahead? Do you prepare to do this next job for the next day or for the next week? You have a calendar, you set things up. I even do that where they have a lot of that set up, but I have to do certain things at Sears, so do you, at a job or a business. If you don't, you're going to be surprised with a lot of things you wouldn't be ready for. Once in a while, I've worked with father-in-law, Ben Ferguson. Y'all know him, right? Okay. But once in a while, I worked with him, and I try to look around. I said, you got to really be thinking ahead of how to handle this business. There's a lot going on all the time. You got to plan ahead. You got to prepare. You got to order supplies. You got to know what you're going to do every week, every month. How about the Lord's church? When you have a ministry in this church, you got to be preparing, planning ahead. Whatever you do, even if you leave the singing, go home and pray about it. Get your book open and read it. Get some songs ready and ask the Lord to bless your ability to lead this thing. And be prepared. If you've got to teach, study, just like you do. Everything you do. It's the Lord's church, the greatest institution on earth. We'll give it our best. Give it a little bit more effort. You'll see a lot will come out of it. A lot. And notice, "Yet for every servant of the Lord in any Baptist church, there is one thing we can all do if we are able." We read in Acts 8:4, "Preach the word and pray. Be a prayer warrior." Our brother, the servant Philip, served in the early church as a servant for the needy and for the widows. You know, there were at least 3,120 members and 7 appointed servants in this first church. Later on, after the souls were saved, we know there was about 120 in the upper room. And we know there was that many in membership. They needed help for this one area of ministry. And they chose 7 men who were busy on a daily basis. And because of this, daily needs were met, and the word of God increased. Look at Acts 8, Acts 6. Look at Acts 6, verse 7. You remember, they chose these men. The ministers said, the apostle says, we cannot serve God in tables. We need to serve, get in the ministry, and set ourselves out to the word of God and to prayer. And notice, they set these apostles, they set them before the apostles, and they had prayed. They laid their hands on them in verse 7. And the word of God increased. The minister had free time to do more of the spiritual ministry of the church. And the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. And a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. They were converted. They were born again. They were repented and believed the gospel. Philip obeyed the Lord as the Lord commanded the early church. He preached Christ in Samaria as Christ commanded. What else can each of us do as a servant of the Lord? Proclaim the word of God. Be a witness. One thing is be faithful to the house of God. We've got the faithful God's people here are faithful. And encourage others that don't come as faithful. Tell them, hey, let's be faithful together. And but notice the servant's qualifications. Saving faith. These deacons were the Holy Spirit in their life. Wisdom, faithfulness, love of God. But the results of Philip's work, look at Acts chapter 8, verse 6. Acts chapter 8, verse 6. And these servants, and notice Philip as a servant of the Lord. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. The people listened to the word of God. And notice verse 7. And before unclean spirits crying with loud voice came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies and that were lame were healed. The Lord did a work. He didn't. The Lord did the work by His power. God's power was evidenced when Philip served God. Look at verse 8. And a result, and there was great joy in that city. The joy of the Lord. A fruit of the Spirit was produced out there. But also, a fruit of the Spirit was there. What motivated Philip? Let me ask you this. What motivated Philip? I'll go back a little bit and you can find it. Acts 4:31. First of all, the Lord says, the Lord that saved them, the Holy Spirit of God. But look at Acts 4, verse 31. I was just going to say, we were watching a tape of the mission field there with Brother James. A few tapes that are going around the church. It's a very good tape. Young people saw it this afternoon, a good number of them, and one of them wants to start writing to some of those teenagers over there, teenage boys. But it's good; it really is for those teenage boys to hear from other Christians, and that can be a ministry. You can really grow a lot by finding out what they do there, and it would be an encouragement to those boys over there. But notice verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled, the early church, together. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. The multitude of them that believed were of one heart, one soul. Neither said of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them. There was great unity, and the power of God was evident. It just sparked. It just caught on to this man, Philip, and he went on with fire in his heart, fire in his bosom, ready to serve the Lord, and God's hand on him. You know, the fire was spread. And God's holy fire was spread to the servant of the Lord. And he was willing to go forward and serve the Lord. But look at Acts 8 and verse 12. And we'll finish this one section. Souls were saved. Look at verse 12. But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, the Bible says they were baptized, both men and women. Souls were saved, and we know in Samaria, the Lord's church was established later. Philip was authorized by the church to baptize. Philip was later known to be an evangelist in the New Testament by his service in the Lord's work. Notice Acts 21, verse 8. Something happened to Philip's life. He didn't just get stirred up, but his whole family got stirred up. Look at Acts 21, verse 8. And notice, in verse 8, the Bible says this, "And the next day, we that were of Paul's company departed and came to Caesarea, and we entered into the house of Philip the evangelist, which was one of the seven, and abode with him." He was called one of those seven. "And the same man had four daughters, virgins, which did prophesy." His daughters were involved in teaching the Word of God. They were involved in their home teaching the Word of God. Philip's family were involved in the Lord's work, and God blessed them. But notice, he was a soul winner, which, as we look in the Scriptures, Psalms 126, he was an influence to lost souls as the Lord used them. Amen. Look at Acts 8:26. We know the story. The angel of the Lord spoke to him and told him, "Arise, go to the south, which is Gaza." And he went. And we know he went to this Ethiopian eunuch, and he found him reading. He was returning, sitting in his chariot, verse 28. "And the Spirit of the Lord said unto Philip, go join yourself to this chariot. Go near to him, Philip." He ran to him, and he heard him reading the word of Isaiah. And notice, and he said, "Do you understand what you read?" And he said, "How can I, except some man should guide me?" He was a servant. He was willing to share the gospel to someone that was searching. And you might be around someone that's searching or wondering or burdened about their soul. Like someone asked for prayers about a friend. Be willing to show them and pass the word along to them. Amen. "The place of the scriptures which they read." Let me read that. "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, like a lamb done before a shearer. So opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. Who shall declare his generation, for his life is taken from the earth?" The eunuch answered Philip, and he said, "I pray thee, of whom speakest thou the prophet?" Who is he speaking of himself or of some other man? "Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture, preached unto him Jesus." He preached the Lord Jesus Christ to him. Look at the next verse. "And as they went on their way, there came to a certain water, and the eunuch said, See, here is water. What does hinder me to be baptized? Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he said, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And he commanded the chair to stand still, and they went down both into the water." He was baptized, submerged underwater, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized them. And they were come out of the water. The Spirit of the Lord called away Philip, and the eunuch saw him no more. And he went on his way rejoicing, but Philip was found in Azotus. Passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. As you serve the Lord, there's always going to be obstacles and hardships, and the devil doesn't want you to serve the Lord, number one. The devil doesn't want you to find a way to serve the Lord and be happy about it and find joy and find active ministry. And whenever you just serve the Lord, it's always going to be a struggle at times. Amen. Just keep on serving the Lord. Philip kept on moving. He went on to the next place of service, and he kept on serving. And he didn't quit. And he was faithful. But notice Acts 8:35. "Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus." Philip told this man from Ethiopia of the greatest servant of all time. The Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, he is God's greatest servant of all time. God's sacrificial servant. God's holy servant. Notice that same scripture that Philip preached on. Look at Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53, of this scroll that this man had. Isaiah 53, verse 9. And notice what the Bible says. "He made his grave with the wicked, with the rich in his death." Talking about Christ, Jesus. "Because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Verse 11, he shall see of the prevail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Jesus Christ, God's righteous servant. The Bible tells us to remember our example in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, let this mind be in you, the mind of a servant. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He was God in human form, God incarnate, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And the Bible says that he was made in the likeness of men, being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, where he bore our sins. It wasn't just a physical death, it was a terrible death. His soul was made an offering for sin. His blood was shed. All the wickedness of all his children were poured on him. He paid for their sin debt that they might be set free. He delivered them. He redeemed them that we might be able to serve him and find joy in him after all. But notice, the Bible says he did that on Calvary's cross, 1 Peter 2:24. But notice Hebrews 9:28, and we're about closing here. Look at Hebrews 9. The Bible says this. So Christ was once offered to bear the sin of many, the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. He bore that sin, all the sins of all his people. But notice what Jesus said in Mark 10, verse 41. And when the ten heard it, they began to be much displeased with James and John. James and John wanted to have a special place in the kingdom. But notice, Jesus called unto him and said unto them, ye know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them. But so shall it not be among you, but whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister, a servant. Whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be servant of all. For even the Son of Man, the Lord Jesus Christ, came not to be ministered unto you. He didn't come to be served, but to give his life a ransom for many. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ who gave his life a ransom? Do you believe he did it for you? As a child of God, we can recognize what he's done for us as a servant and say, Lord, what little can I do for you for all the wonderful things that you have done and will do and are doing and are going to do for me? What can we do for him? Maybe we can think about it and pray about it and ask God to help you be a better servant for his glory.